Bhagavad Lila, Dasama Skanda, Chapter 87, Shruti Vandanam, Part 2, Prayers by the Personified Vedas, Text 21. The Shrutis are glorifying the Lord. My Lord Vishnu, some fortunate souls have gotten relief from the fatigue of material life by diving into the vast nectar ocean of your pastimes. Charita Maham Amritabdi. Charita Maha Amritabdi. Amrita Abdi. Nectarine ocean of your pastimes, which you enact when you manifest your personal forms to propagate the unfathomable science of the self. These rare souls, these rasic Vaishnavas, indifferent even to liberation, renounce the happiness of home and family because of their association with devotees. These devotees are like flocks of swans enjoying the lotus of your feet. Here the sages indicate that super excellence of bhakti yoga, which has as its prayojan or sadhya object the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In such a process, not mysticism or gyan, yoga, karma mimamsa, this process, bhakti, devotional service, is what the personified Vedas, the Srutis, themselves accept as the best process to realize God. Verse 21 through 24, they glorify bhakti. Vishnu's commentary. Pure devotees become enthused by relishing the sweet nectar of Krishna's pastimes, and as a result, they feel impelled to dance, sing, kick their heels together, faint, shed tears, cry out in lamentation, and run about like madmen. Immersed in ecstasy, they are unaware of any bodily discomfort. Indeed, they consider the happiness of Brahman, Brahmananda, Brahmasayuja, to be like the pleasure animals derive from chewing grass. Shri Swami says, Tutkatamrita patobdho viharanto mahamudha kurvanti kirtina kechich chatur vargam trinopamam. This is Sridhar Maharaj's commentary on text 21 of 87 chapter. Those rare fortunate souls who blissfully play in the nectar ocean of Krishna's pastimes consider the four great goals, chaturvargam, of dharma, art, kama, and moksha, piety, wealth, sense pleasures, and liberation, to be no more important than a blade of grass. Chaturvargam trinopamam. The Shrutis more specifically describe the cause of attaining happiness from Lord Krishna. They said, by association of saintly swan-like Vaishnavas, who forever relish the sweet nectar of serving your lotus feet, a devotee becomes so absorbed and tasting the nectar that he loses all attraction for his wife and family, griha. There are many verses from the Upanishads and other Shrutis proclaiming the superiority of bhakti over mukti. Taittiriya Brahmana 3.12.3 says, Amritasya dhara bahuda toha manam charanam naloke suditam dadatu. May the abundant streams of nectar flowing from Krishna's feet flood the world with nectar. Text 23. Nibritta marun manukshad tride yoga yujo hridiyan munayo pasati tadarayo apiyayo smaranat sriya urugendra bhoga buja dandavishakta diyo vayam apite sama samadrishongri sarojasudha. The Shruti said, simply by thinking of Lord Vishnu, the enemies of the Lord attain the same truth whom sages fixed in yoga worship by controlling their breath, mind, and senses. Similarly, we Shrutis, who generally see you as all-pervading Brahman, will achieve the same nectar from your lotus feet that your consorts are able to relish because of their loving attraction to your mighty serpentine arms. For you look upon us and your consorts in the same way. It's actually simply by constantly thinking of Krishna. The verse only says you. Smaranat Sriya Uragendra Bhoga Buja Danda. Sriya Uragendra Bhoga Buja Danda. Serpent, snake like, powerful, beautiful arms. Vishwanath. To describe the supreme position of bhakti yoga directed only to Krishna and of the super excellence of Krishna among all the personal forms of God, the Shrutis first denigrate Gyan Yoga, which has impersonal Brahman as its goal. Shruti said, that form of Brahman and Paramatma that the yogis meditate has descended as Krishna, whom the demons who appeared when Krishna descended attained that same perfection simply by remembering the Lord with animosity. Ah, such is the greatness of Krishna that even demons like Kansa and others, though they saw Krishna briefly with mundane vision and impure hearts, obsessed with enmity, and though they were devoid of any realization of the sweetness of Krishna's body, still demons like Kansa quickly obtained the perfection of liberation simply by remembering Sri Krishna's personal form. We cannot even imagine how long it will take those meditative sages to attain that Brahman. Speaking for themselves, however, the Vishwanath said, the personified Vedas here state that they wish to taste the sweet mellows of Krishna prema that are relished by Krishna's intimate friends, such as the young gopis of Braj. They said, the minds of the damsels of Braj were attracted with great love to the powerfully soft arms of Krishna. Vishakta Diyo Smaranat Sriya. Smaranat Sriya Uragendra Bhoga Buja Danda Vishakta Diyo. These powerfully soft arms of Krishna resemble the body of the king of snakes. The beloved damsels of Braj lovingly served and relished the sweet nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, Angri Saroja Sudha, by holding them on their breasts, Vakshastale. This is described in the Bhagavatam Gopi Gita 19, chapter 31. Yatte sujata charanam buruhamstaneshu Bitakshane priyad dhimahi karkasheshu tenatavim atasitad vyatate nakim swit kurpadibir pramatidir bhavadayushamna. the damsels of Braj said, "O dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breasts, fearing that your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about the forest path." In the second half of this verse 23, the Shrutis, hankering in ecstatic eagerness, imagine that they have attained Krishna's feet in the same way as the gopis of Vrindavan. The Shrutis said, "We will attain you, my Lord Krishna, by performing austerities to obtain forms just like the Brajagopis, Samaha." "But," Krishna may question, "how will you do this?" Shrutis, "With undivided attention, Samadrisha, we will faithfully follow in the footsteps of the damsels of Braj." In this verse 23 of chapter 87, four groups have been described in the Charapada. The sages and the demons mentioned in the first half attained the goal of impersonal realization of Krishna. In the last two lines of the verse, the gopis and Shrutis both achieved Krishna in a mood of conjugal love. Vishwanath quotes the, now quotes the Brihad Vamana Purana. Lord Brahma relates a history regarding this incident. Lord Brahma said, "The infinite world of spiritual bliss is called Vaikuntha. There, the Supreme Truth lives, being glorified by the personified Vedas who reside there also. Once, after the Vedas had elaborately praised the Lord felt especially satisfied and spoke to them in a voice whose source remained invisible." So it's more like Akashvani. Lord Vishnu said, "My dear sages, I am very satisfied with you. Please ask me some benediction that you secretly desire." The Shrutis replied to that Akashvani, "We have developed the desire to become like the Brajagopis of the mortal material world, who, inspired by lust, worship you in the mood of a lover." Then the Lord said, "This desire of yours is difficult to fulfill. Indeed, it is almost impossible. However, since I am sanctioning it, your wish must inevitably come true. Listen to me. When the next Brahma takes birth to faithfully execute his duties of creation, and when a day of his life called the Saraswat Kalpa arrives, you will appear in Braj, in this material world, as gopis. On the earth, in the land of Bharat, in my own district of Mathura Mandal, in Vrindavan forest, I will become your beloved in the Ras Mandala. Prithivyam Bharate Kshetre Mature Mama Mandale Vrindavane Bhavishyami Preyan Vo Rasamandale." Jaradharmena Susneham Sudridham Sarvatodikam Mayi Samprapya Sarvepi Krita Kritya Bhavishyata. Vishnu continues, speaking to Brahma, "Thus obtaining me as your paramour, you will gain the most exalted and steadfast pure love for me, and in this way you will fulfill all your ambitions. Concluding the story of this history, Brahma says, after hearing these words from the Akashvani, those Shrutis meditated on the Lord's beautiful form for a long time. When the designated time ultimately arrived, the Shrutis became gopis and obtained the association of Lord Hari in the Rasamandala and Vrindavan Dham. The following verse from Brihadaranya Upanishad 4, 5, 6 supports the topic of this verse. Atma va are dristavya shrutavyo mantavyo nididhyasitavya. One must see the Lord, hear about him, think about him, and meditate upon him with fixed concentration. The idea here is that one should directly see the Lord. The word in the verse from the Upanishad, drastavya, means sakshat kartavya, the supreme personality of Godhead. The means for achieving this rare darshan are also stated. How to attain that? Basically, the verse we just quoted, Atmava Are Jistavya, from Brihadaranya Upanishad, it started with the goal. They listed the sadhya. Then, subsequently, in the sequence, the next thing they listed was the means to attain that goal. So, first they stated the goal, then the means to attain it, which Vishwanath brings out. So he says the idea here, the conclusion is, the perfection of what this Upanishad is saying, is that we should see God. Now the next question is, well, how to do that? So then they prescribe this. First, one must hear from a bona fide guru and take the words of such a spiritual master into one's heart by offering him humble service and striving in all ways to please him. One should then continuously ponder the divine message of the spiritual master with the aim of dispelling all one's doubts and misconceptions. Then one can proceed to meditate on Sri Krishna's lotus feet with total conviction and determination. Gyanis and yogis conclude that the impersonal realization, Nirvishesh Brahma, of the Supreme is more complete and final than the personal worship, Savishesh, of the Supreme Godhead. The Vaishnavas, however, conclude something different. They conclude that the essential meaning of the Vedas refers to the personal form of Godhead, who possesses wonderful spiritual variety and distinct transcendental qualities. Katha Upanishad 1, 2, 2, 3. Yame vaisya vrinute tena labhyas tasyaisya atma vrinvrite tanam swanam. One cannot understand the Supreme Soul by studying the Vedas or by hearing many scriptures or by one's mental energy. The Lord reserves the right to reveal his personal form to the person who accepts the Lord as his master. That surrendered soul alone attains the Lord. A further understanding of the verse quoted above from Brihadaranya Upanishad about seeing Krishna is given. First, one should realize and see Drastavya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who possesses a body, tanum, full of auspicious qualities. This can be achieved by hearing the Krishna mantra from the mouth of the divine spiritual master. Shrutis such as the Krama Deepika state that the mantra and the sarup of the Lord are identical. Mantra Maya Vapusha. The mantra and the sroop or form of the Lord are one, identical. Mantra Maya Vapu. Vapu means body. Vapusha. The word mantavya refers to the process of remembering, which consists, in other words, what is remembering? Remembering means paying careful attention to the sound and the meaning of the mantra. The sound of the Gopal mantra and Kam Gayatri, the sound of the Maha mantra and the meaning. That's why the Guru gives the mantra and then the mantra devata, then the mantra meditation and the mantra meaning for the disciple to deeply ponder and meditate upon, both the sound and the meaning, which are one. The meaning is Krishna's sarup and love, and the sound and mantra is Krishna's sarup and love. And this verse, it was that he's discussing Vishwanath from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad about seeing the Lord, has the word Nidhi Dhyasitavya. He says that this word can also be understood according to Amarkosh Dictionary. And the word means seeing, darshanam. The desire to see the deity mentioned in the mantra is called Nidhi Dhyasanam. In other words, by regularly chanting one's Diksha mantra as japa, while carefully thinking about its meaning, one should cultivate the desire to see one's worshipful Lord. By cultivating the desire to see Him, then Sri Krishna, Reality the Beautiful, will manifest Himself one day before the eyes of the devotee. In regard to the personified Vedas, desire to attain the Vrajagopi's mood of conjugal desire, Krishna says in Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Uttara 4, Krishna said, by remembering me, one who is impure becomes pure. By remembering me, one who follows no vows becomes a strict follower of vows. By remembering me, one who is desireless develops desires to serve me. By remembering me, one who has studied no Vedic mantras becomes an expert knower of the Vedas. Vishwanath's purport goes on. Again, he quotes the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, number 12. Brajastriya Jana Sambhuta Shruti Bhyo Brahma Sangata. The Shrutis took birth among the women of Braj. Brajastriya Jana. Or, this verse means that Sri Krishna achieved the association of all the divisions of the Vedas by meeting the Shrutis when they appeared in Vrindavan as gopis. Because the verse from the Gopal Tapani Upanishad he quoted said Brahma Sangata. So this phrase Brahma Sangata can also mean Prapta Vedanga Sango Bhut, which means all the Vedas. In verse 25, talks about different authorities. Some say matter is the origin of existence. Sounds like sciences. That the permanent qualities of the soul can be destroyed, that the self is a mixture of spirit and matter. Many ideas. Vishwanath comments, the followers of Vaisheshika, Naya, Sankhya Yoga and Mimamsa philosophies all have their own incorrect ideas, which the personified Vedas point out in this prayer, verse 25. The Shruti said, not only is the truth about God difficult to understand, but because there is no unity of opinion among the learned, True knowledge about the supreme goal of life is also virtually impossible to acquire for the jiva souls. Patanjali Rishi's yoga philosophy teaches one how to achieve Brahman liberation by a mechanical process of exercise and meditation. The Nayakas, logicians, following Gautam Rishi, speak of liberation as a destruction of the soul's innate consciousness, Sato Mritim, along with its 21 different causes of suffering. What are those 21 causes of suffering, which the Nayakas annihilate? Six senses, the six sense objects, the six whirlpools, heat, cold, hunger, thirst, greed, illusion, happiness, distress, and the material body. That's 21 causes of suffering. Sankhya philosophers say that the soul's status of being free from qualities is his liberation. However, in truth, the soul is both conscious and active. But the Sankhyites wrongly separate these two functions of the living force, Atmaniye cha bidam, ascribing consciousness to the soul, Purusha, and activity to the material nature, Prakriti. For in actuality, consciousness and activity are both eternal attributes of the soul. The Mimamshakas, the proponents of Karma Mimamsha of Jaimini Rishi, they say, Smaranti Vedanti, that material work, karma, and its results are the only reality, Ritam. The cycle of karma is perpetual, and the best one can aim for is higher birth among the demigods, and keep on rolling, keep on rotating in the samsara chakra, on and on and on. Janma muritu, janma muritu, janma muritu, jara vyadi. Vishwanath. All these philosophies, Vaisheshika, Naya, Sankhya, Yoga, Mimamsa, teach by attribution, not by seeing the truth. If the living entity were in fact composed of the three modes of nature, Tamaraja Sattva, then all these erroneous philosophies would be valid. Unfortunately, this is not the fact. Rather, the Atma, the living entity, is in truth devoid of any material qualities. With this implication in mind, the Shrutis conclude verse number 25, chapter 87, by saying, the dualistic idea that the living entity is composed of the three material modes is a creation of your ignorance potency. Furthermore, that duality affects only the jivatma and not you, the paramatma. Ignorance cannot cover the supersoul, as darkness cannot cover the unlimited light of the sun, but ignorance can cover the individual spirit souls. Thus, the fallacious conclusions of these speculative philosophers prove that even the greatest scholars and sages are often bewildered by ignorance. This, he supports this statement, Vishwanath, by citing Shastra's Kathopanishad. Avidyayam antare vartamana swayam dira panditam manyamana jangan yamana pariyanti mudha andeneva niyamana yatandha. Caught in the grip of ignorance, self-proclaimed experts consider themselves learned authorities. be fooled as they are. They wander about this material world, engaging in arguments and counter-arguments, like the blind leading the blind. Text 26. Vishwanath comments in text 26. Bondage, liberation, and the manifest world are all unreal creations of ignorance. In response to such ideas, the Shrutis speak verse 26 to clarify the factual relationship between Sat and Asat. The whole universe comprised of the three modes of nature, and including the living entity, seems to be real, but actually it is not, because it is simply an imagined production of the mind. The Supreme Mind was originally created from Asat. This mind created Prajapati, and Prajapati created all living beings. Thus, mind alone is the ultimate foundation of everything that exists in this world. It's interesting. People of modern New Agers, New Age preachers and yogis and teachers, they often tell that the world's in your mind. Whatever you think, that's what it is. This world is created by the mind. That's what they say. But then the Shrutis say, but the learned knowers of the self say that the world is real, not unreal. And someone may say, question, well, how can you say it is unreal? Text 27. The devotees who worship you, this is the Shrutis' prayers, the devotees who worship you as the shelter of all beings disregard death and place their feet on his head. But with the words of the Vedas, you bind the non-devotees like animals, even though they may be vastly learned scholars. It is your affectionate devotees who can purify themselves and others, and not those who are inimical to you. In the previous two verses, 25 and 26, regarding the sadhya, paramgati, the supreme goal of life, the personified Vedas presented five different schools of erroneous philosophies. Asad Utpati Vad. Asad Utpati Vad. Proponents of Patanjali Yoga system who say that one can attain Brahman by material exercises. Well, that's their philosophy, the Asad Utpati Vad. Then the Sad Vinash Vad. Sad Vinash Vad, this is propounded by the Nayakas. Or followers of logic, they advocate destruction of the jiva's consciousness, the sakunatva bedavad. Well, that's the next one, that's the third one. The sagunatva bedavad. This is the vad, or the words or opinion, of the sankhyas, who say liberation is achieved when the soul is separated from all his apparent qualities. Then four, the Vipanavad of the Mimamshakas. In their words of Vipanavad, they condemn the soul to eternal involvement in the mundane business of karma. So now we describe the Patanjali, Naya, and Mimamsas. And then the Vivartavad of the Mayavadis, or Mayavad, who claim the soul's real life is in the world of illusion. Having rejected all these concepts, the personified Vedas now present the Paricharya-vad. Paricharya-vad. So this is the sixth one. Bogus, wrong philosophies are Patanjali, Nayak, Patanjali's yoga system, Naya, Nayakas, Imamshas, Mayavad and Sankhyas, Sankhyites. The Vaishnavas, they propound Paricharyavad, which means the philosophy of devotional service. The Vaishnava philosophy teaches that the jiva soul is an atomic particle of spiritual personality who possesses minute knowledge. He is not independent, however, and he has no material qualities. Due to his being minute, the jiva soul is prone to come under the control of the material energy, where he suffers the pains of material life. Only by bhakti and not by fruitive work, mental speculation, or any other process can one destroy the suffering of material existence and attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna says in Gita 7:14, Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mamaiva ye prapadyante mayam metam tarantite. My divine energy, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Bhaktyaha mekaya graya shada yatma priyasatam bhakti punati mannishta shvapakan api sambhavat. Bhagavat 11:14-21. Uddhava Gita, Krishna told Uddhava, only by practicing aikantiki bhakti, bhakti ek, aikantiki, by practicing unalloyed devotional service with full faith, shraddha yatma, an atma full of shraddha, with full faith in me, can one obtain me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am naturally dear to my devotees, who take me as the only goal of their loving service. By engaging in such pure devotional service, even the dog eaters can purify themselves from the contamination of their low birth. Vishwanath. According to these Gita and Bhagavat statements of Sri Krishna, bhakti is the only process. Thus the Shrutis are indicating in these verses, especially verse 21, they're indicating that devotional service is itself the supreme goal of life, Parama Purushartha, thus propounding the Vaishnava philosophy as superior to all other philosophies. The Shrutis place the Vaishnavas in the topmost category because they're following the topmost philosophy and worshipping the topmost form of Godhead, the personal form of the Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna. And in doing so, they condemn all their philosophers. Vaishnavas worship Krishna as a shelter of everything that exists, and they serve Krishna with the mood of accepting the reality of both the material and spiritual worlds. Verse 27, Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 87, has a phrase, Akila Sattva Niketataya. In Madhvacharya, let's say Vishnu says that Akila Sattva Niketa maybe analyzes this. The word Kila means impure, inferior. Therefore, Akila means pure or perfect, though it's commonly understood to mean Akila means all. Then the phrase Akila Sattva Niketa means that the Supreme Lord's personal abodes in Vaikuntha are perfectly pure realms free of anxiety and restriction. Therefore, the Vaishnavas who serve the Lord simply step on the head of death and transcend material existence without paying much attention. But someone may question, the proponents of the above-mentioned philosophies, Patanjali, Vimamsaka, Nayak, Naya, Mayavad, Sankhya, they can also surpass death. And the Shrutis reply, no, they cannot. Those so-called wise philosophers who are inimical, vimukha, to the Lord, are bound in illusion like animals tied by the ropes of such Vedic statements. Thus they are kept in ignorance by the same words of the Vedas that enlighten the surrendered souls. One should not think, however, that Vaishnavas are ignorant because they may not be expert in philosophical analysis and argument. Vishnu's telling. The Vaishnavas acquire perfect knowledge by receiving the Lord's favor, not through their own efforts at mental speculation. This is confirmed in 6.2.3 of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru tasyaite katita viharta prakashante mahatmanaha. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of the Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. The Shrutis continued. Therefore, those who have manifested love, surida or prema, the word surida in the verse means prema, for you, my Lord, they themselves are purified, and by their instructions they purify others. However, those who are not your devotees, abhaktas, vimukha, they do not become pure. Text 31 is talking about dissolution and pralaya. And he discusses Vishwanath. Comment, text 31. The dissolution of the living being's jiva, material condition, happens in two ways, partial and complete. In liberation, mukti, or the ultimate dissolution, atyantika laya, the jiva's designative coverings, upadis, of the gross and subtle bodies, and also the upadis of ignorance, avidya, which is their cause, all become dissolved, just as rivers, sarita, nadya, merge into the ocean. In other words, all the false designations of the jiva are given up at the time of liberation, which is the equivalent of complete dissolution, final pralaya. Now, what is partial dissolution? Partial dissolution occurs when the soul experiences deep, dreamless sleep, sushupti, and appears to leave his body, OBE, out of body experiences, astral traveling. Partial dissolution, this would be partial pralaya, also occurs when all souls re-enter the body of Mahavishnu at the time of universal annihilation, pralaya, and deep sleep. And during the annihilation of the universe, however, only the designative coverings, upadis, of the gross and subtle bodies are dissolved, and not that of their cause, avidya, ignorance. These different types of dissolution are just like honey, which contains the taste of the nectar of different flowers. Ashesha rasa, rasa. Which is a phrase in verse 31. Liyora shesha rasa. The phrase of shesha rasa can also mean sakala kusama rasa. Even though these tastes of the different flower nectars mixed in one honey are not individually perceivable, they are perceivable in a general sense. These points are corroborated in the following Shrutis, Mundaka Upanishad 3-8, which says, as rivers flow to their dissolution in the sea, giving up their names and forms at their destination, so the wise man who becomes free from material names and forms attains to the Supreme Absolute, the wonderful personality of Godhead. Text 32, the translation. The wise souls who understand how your Maya, deludes all human beings, render potent loving service to you, who are the source of liberation from birth and death, how indeed can fear of material life, bhavabhayam, affect your faithful servants? The triple-rimmed wheel of time repeatedly terrify those who refuse to take shelter of you. Vishwanath. Having proposed various philosophies and rejected them, the Shrutis now establish the Vaishnava philosophy. The eloquent proponents of the various contending materialistic philosophies mentioned in the previous two verses may consider themselves very wise, but they are all in fact deluded by Krishna's illusory potency, Maya. Recognizing this pattern of general delusion, Vaishnavas offer their pure love, bhavam, to Krishna in the devotional service moods of servitude, friendship, and other mellows. Such pure Vaishnavas, Shud Bhaktas, experience delight, prabhava or ulas, at every moment, because the object of their love is he who brings an end to material entanglement. Some philosophers may question how Vaishnavas can overcome their material entanglement without undergoing thorough analytical knowledge of the jiva and the supreme Brahman, and without being disgusted with material life. The Shrutis respond to this question saying, there is no chance of material illusion continuing to act on Krishna's devotees. Why? Because even in the earliest stages of devotional service, all fear and attachment are removed by the grace of the Lord. Only because of the extreme desirelessness and the deep feeling of humility that arises from their cultivation of devotion do the Vaishnavas still identify themselves as fallen in the material world. Thus the razor-sharp sword of time in the form of the furrowing of your eyebrows, Bhrukuti, with its three divisions of past, present, and future, creates fear of disease, death, and hellish suffering only for those who fail to worship your feet. As Lord Ram himself says in Ramayana, Lanka Kanda 18:33, Sakradeva prapano yas tavasmiti chayachate abhayam sarvada tasme tadamyetad vritam mama. Bhagavan Sri Ram said, if anyone, even once, surrenders to me, pleading, I am yours, I, in return, will give him eternal fearlessness. This is my solemn vow. Furthermore, in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Krishna says, this divine energy of mine, Daivi Maya, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me easily cross beyond it. Vishwanath. The idea behind this is as follows. Vaishnavas are not eager to defeat others' opinions and establish their own, as other philosophers are prone to do. The Vaishnavas, however, are very eager to worship you, and for that they need not quarrel with any adverse philosophers. The Vaishnava philosophy is the essence of all scriptures. Their conception of the Supreme Absolute Truth as the infinite ocean of personality and loving pastimes in his worshipable forms of Krishna, Ram, and other divine manifestations, and the Vaishnava's conception of themselves as his eternal servants amount to the perfect conclusion of Vedanta philosophy in terms of the entities God, Tat, and the Self, Tvam, Tat Tvam Asi. The personality of Godhead and his emanations, such as the jiva souls, are simultaneously different and non-different, just as the sun and its expanding rays. Krishna confirms this himself in Bhagavatam 11.16.11, Shukshmanam apyaham jivo. Among subtle things, I am the spirit soul. The jivas traveling through different species of life in heaven or hell is due to the influence of his material coverings. Dattatreya mentions this by saying, by pran, a man takes repeated birth in this world, yena samsarate puman. There are more jivas than anyone can ever count, and each of them is eternally alive with consciousness, as confirmed by the Shrutis. Nityo nityananam, chetanash chetananam. When the jivas are sent forth from the body of Mahavishnu, at the beginning of material creation, they are all equal in the sense that they are all atomic particles of the Lord's marginal potency, Tatastha Shakti. But according to their differing conditions, they divide into four groups. Some jivas are covered by ignorance, which obscures their vision like a cloud. Others become liberated from ignorance by knowledge mixed with devotion. A third group of souls become endowed with pure devotion with a slight mixture of desire for speculative knowledge and fruitive activity. Those souls attain purified bodies composed of perfect knowledge and bliss with which they can engage in the Lord's service. And finally, the fourth category are Sri Krishna's eternal associates who never had any connection with ignorance. Vishwanath says, some authorities say that the phrase Tat Tvam Asi, which is from Vedanta Sutra, so popular with the Mayavadis, which means you are that, or you are Brahman, that means Brahman. Some others say that means Tat Tvam Asi means you belong to him. In other words, you are his. Tat Tvam Asi means you are his. The upasya, the object of the soul's worship, is realized in three aspects. Vadanti tat tatvividas yat tat jnanam advayam brahmati paramatmati bhagavanti shabyate. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Impersonal Brahman is like the radiant effulgence of the sun. The Supersoul, or Paramatma, is like the sun globe. And the personality of God in Bhagavan, with his associates, is like the presiding deity within the sun, who has his personal charioteer named Arun, assistants, and beautiful form, face, eyes, and hands, and feet. Or, to cite another analogy, travelers approaching a city from a distance cannot at first distinguish its features, but from a distance they see something vaguely shining ahead of them. As they come closer to the city, they may discern a few of the taller buildings, trees, flagpoles, and flags. Then when they are sufficiently close to the city, they will see the city as it is, a bustling metropolis with many citizens, residences, public buildings, highways, and parks. In the same way, persons inclined to impersonal meditation may at best gain some realization of the Supreme Lord's effulgence, Brahman. Those who approach closer can learn to see him as the Lord in the heart, but they will have scanty knowledge of his spiritual qualities. When they enter into the intimate association, however, and experience the unprecedented sweetness of God, then they can know his full personality as Bhagavan Sri Krishna. In text 34, the Shrutis say that one who is surrendered to the Lord and serving him gives up all their desires. For one who has taken shelter of your loving service, my Lord, and realized you as a super soul, what use does he have for the various objects of the worldly success, such as servants, virtuous sons, a beautiful body, an attractive wife, fabulous wealth, luxurious celestial home, a vast estate, health and vitality, costly conveyances? One who experiences the ecstasy of devotional service loses all attraction for these things, since he finds real satisfaction in the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure, Sarva Rasaya Ananda. As Shrutis argue, Vishwanath tells, however, for those who cannot appreciate the supreme spiritual happiness attained by realizing the absolute truth, and instead remain attached to the pleasure of sex life, what is there worthwhile to be found in this world? The implied answer is that they derive pleasure from their servants, house, land, and wealth, mentioned in text 34. But one may object, but why can't these possessions, attaining these material things, give pleasure? What is wrong with that? The Shrutis reply, servants, house, wife, land, wealth, beautiful body are all perishable, being under the grip of time. Therefore, by nature, they are insignificant, even from their inception. And they are condemned by saints who understand the changeable nature of the material world. This is text 40 of the prayers by the personified Vedas. They're describing the realized devotee. They said, when a person realizes you, he no longer cares about his good and bad fortune arising from past pious and sinful acts, since it is you alone who control this good and bad fortune. Such a realized devotee also disregards what ordinary living beings say about him. Every day, this realized devotee fills his ears with your glories, which are recited in each age by the unbroken succession of Manu's descendants, and thus you become the ultimate salvation. Vishnu's commentary on this text 40 from the 10th canto. In this verse, the Shrutis explain how neophyte devotees, on the other hand, even though they may misbehave, still do not suffer in this life and the next life, like the impersonal sannyasis. Rather, they attain success. Devotees who worship the Lord become free from all karmic reactions by worshiping him. Then the apparent good and bad events that devotee may experience are not the result of his karma, but rather they are personally arranged by you. Bhavat Uta Shubha 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 Yor. This is in the verse 40. My Lord, you do this. In other words, you personally arrange good and bad to happen to your devotees to protect the confidentiality of devotion to you, or to avoid uprooting the opinion of the atheists, or to increase the longing in your devotee. Or these apparently auspicious and inauspicious material reactions appear as a result of offenses against your devotees, Vaishnavaparad. You make these experiences appear in such a way that the devotee seems to be suffering the reactions of his karma. So the good and bad that happens to a surrendered devotee, because by chanting Namavasi becomes free from his karmic reactions, they're arranged by the Lord or they're due to his own aparads, Vaishnava aparads. Vishnath goes on, which is his rephrasing of the, these are all his, not his commentary exactly, but rephrasing of what, of the words in the verse, taking the words in the verse and rephrasing them to say that the Shrutis in verse 40 said. However, the devotee who ignores the apparent good and bad reactions of the work he does only for your pleasure. In other words, if someone praises a devotee, quote, this devotee is merciful, tolerant, and generous. Or, on the other hand, if someone condemns a devotee, saying, this devotee is greedy, hypocritical, and attached to sense enjoyment, the devotee responds by not being overly concerned about it in either case. At these times, the humble devotee does not pay much attention to the words of any person, deyabritam, which is in the verse, be he high or low, which praise or denounce him. The devotee thinks to himself, if these people mistakenly see good qualities in me and express praise, let them do it. If others see my qualities of being attached to sense gratification and criticize me, then this is perfectly appropriate. Now Vishnath says, that's the end of the verse explanation, word for word. Now Vishnath's comment, the Shrutis then explain the reasoning behind this, saying, quote, how can they feel like this, so detached and unconcerned? Because, and he quotes the Shrutis, what they're saying in the verse, by continually singing day after day about Krishna, who incarnates in every age, and are an ocean of transcendental qualities, the mighty current of your Nam Sankirtan fills up the devotee's ears, and thus he quickly attains love, Krishna Prema, for you, the ultimate goal of liberation, Apavarga Gatira. Because the verse mentions that, Apavarga Gatira. And then Vishnath goes on. According to the prose statement in Bhagavat 4.30.30, the phrase Apavarga Gatira, which means goal of liberation, means the bestower of pure loving service, or else, that destination in comparison with even the four goals of life, dharma, art, kam, moksh, are most despicable. As Lord Krishna states in Gopal Tapani Upanishad 51-53, for those who live in Mathura Mandala, Sridham Vrindavan, this is Krishna speaking, Lord Sri Krishna, I am the object of all worship. Even if the Brijvasis fail to properly cultivate the religious principles that one should observe in the Holy Land, still they become devoted to me just by virtue of living there. Even if the age of Kali has the Brijvasis tightly in his grip, still, the Brijvasis get credit for living in my home. My devotee who lives in Mathura Mandala is just as dear to me as you, Lord Brahma, and your sons, Rudra, and his followers, and Goddess Shri, and my own self. That's very significant. That's Gopal Tapani Upanishad 51-53. Krishna is saying the Brijvasis are as dear to him as his own self, even more dear, or just equally as dear as Lakshmi Devi and Shiva and Brahma. Now, Vishnath comments on this verse which we quoted, because in the verse it says, Tad Dharma Gati Hina, and Kalinagrashta. These phrases in this Upanishadic verse indicate wicked behavior or imply the idea, quote, if one is wicked but lives in that matura. Vishnath. Thus, between the two worshippers, the fallen sannyasi and the fallen devotee living in matura, the impersonalist sannyasi is criticized and the devotee is praised by the Lord. This point is also confirmed by Sri Krishna himself in Uddhava Gita 11:18, 40 and 41. One who has not controlled the six forms of illusion, lust, anger, greed, envy, false pride and intoxication, calm, crowed, lobe, matsarya, mada, whose intelligence, the leader of all the senses, remains extremely attached to material things, and who is also bereft of knowledge and detachment, but somehow adopts the sannyas order of life to make a living, and who denies the worshipable demigods, his own self, and the Supreme Lord within himself, thus ruining all religious principles, and who is still infected by material contamination, is deviated and lost both in this life and the next. So Vishnath is quoting that this is Krishna telling about the fallen sannyasi in contrast to the fallen Brijvasi, who is dearer to him than himself. And then Krishna says in Gita, he quotes, Apichet suraracharo bhajate ma mananyabhak sarareva chamantavya samyag vyavisito hisa. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he's engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. Thus, with his own words, Bhagavan Sri Krishna praises his devotee. By all means, Lord Krishna agrees with the Shrutis, who are his followers, at the end of their praises of him. 642. Supreme Lord Sri Narayan Rishi said, having heard these instructions about the Supreme Self, the Personality of Godhead, the sons of Brahma now understood their final destination. They felt perfectly satisfied and honored Sanandana with their worship. Vishwanath. By hearing the 28 prayers of the personified Vedas, which comprise the elucidation of the Brahma Upanishad, spoken in verse 2 of this chapter, Budindriya Mana Pranan, the sons of Brahma assembled in Brahmaloka made great progress toward their goal of pure love of God. Thus the ancient saints who travel in the upper heavens distilled this nectarian and confidential essence of all the Vedas and Puranas. And as you wander the earth at will, my dear son of Brahma, Narad, with great faith you should take this supreme teaching, which destroys attachment to the world, and then wander on this earth as you desire, Narad. Meditating on the meaning of what he had heard, Narada held strongly to his promise and replied to Lord Narayan Rishi. Sri Narada Vacha Namastasmai Bhagavate Krishnaya Mala Kirtaye Yodate Sarvabhutanam Abhava Yoshati Kala. Narad said, I offer my obeisances to him of spotless fame, the Supreme Lord Krishna, who manifests his all-attractive personal expansions so that all living beings can achieve liberation. Vishwanath. Narada Muni, discerning the real meaning of the Vedas, prayers, shrutis, then openly acknowledges in this verse the supreme position of Krishna, even above Narayan. Vishnath purport. Among the different paths, spiritual paths, such as Jnana and Yoga, mentioned in the Shruti's praises, bhakti is the best. Among the different worshippers, the devotees are the best. Among the objects of worship, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, Bhagavan is the best. Narada Muni has concluded this from all the statements of the Shrutis. He has further concluded that even in Bhagavan, however, Krishna is the supreme, as understood from verses 17 and 23 of this chapter. To indicate this, Narada loudly recites this verse in front of Narayan, Namastasmai Bhagavate. I offer my respects to Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Lord Narayan, Rishi asked, Narad, why are you offering your respects to Krishna instead of me, your guru, who am standing right here before you at Badrik Ashram? Narada replies, Sri Krishna accepts various beautiful forms, such as yourself, to end the conditioned soul's material life. By offering obeisances to Sri Krishna, therefore, Narad honors Narayan Rishi and all other incarnations of Godhead as well. This prayer of Narada's is the essential nectar he has extracted from the personified Veda's 28 prayers, which themselves were churned from the sweet ocean of all secrets contained in the Vedas and Puranas. As the Gopaltapani Upanishad, Purva 50, recommends, Krishna is the supreme Godhead. One should worship Krishna, surrender fully to Krishna, meditate on Krishna, and relish the taste of reciprocating loving exchanges with Krishna. After saying this, Narada bowed down to Sri Narayana Rishi, the foremost of sages, and also to his saintly disciples. Narada returned to the hermitage of his father, Dvaipayana Vyas. Narada Vishwanath. Narada paid respects to Narayana Rishi in this manner by reciting prayers to Krishna. Then he left Narayana Rishi's ashram, which was called Narayana Ashram, and then he went to Vyasadeva's ashram. Vyasadeva respectfully greeted Narada and offered him a seat. Then Narada described to Vyas what he had heard from Sri Narayana Rishi. Thus, King Parikshit, I reply to the question you asked me concerning how the material mind can have access to the transcendental spiritual absolute truth, which is indescribable by material words and devoid of material qualities. The answer is, how can that be done? The mind can perceive God by the power of bhakti arising from the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Text 50. Summarizing the meaning of all the prayers, the 28 prayers of the personified Vedas, in text 50, Shukadev makes us again remember the facts. Vishnu paraphrases. By glancing upon the dormant universe at the time of sending forth the jiva souls into creation, the Supreme Lord provides all their necessities. For karmis, Krishna provides intelligence, mind, senses, and prana needed to achieve the fruits of their karma, namely, material sense enjoyment. For the jnanis, the Lord provides the intelligence which they can attain liberation by merging into his spiritual effulgence. And for the devotees, bhaktas, Lord helps them attain his association in an eternal loving relationship. Thus, in each of these ways, the Supreme Lord thinks of where he can send each jiva in the material realm. In this verse, Shukadeva describes how the Supreme Lord is the cause and controller of everything in the entire universe, which is composed of Maya and the jiva. Because Maya and the jiva are both God's energies, and because his energies are non-different from their source, the Shaktiman, the unmanifested nature of Maya and the jiva are both him alone. This establishes that the Supreme Lord is the ingredient cause, Upadan Karan. He is the efficient cause, Nimitta Karan, and also the supreme controller. In verse 50, Shukadeva also explains how the jiva can transcend material existence by devotion to the Lord. By surrendering to the Supreme Lord, the jiva, who is helplessly bound up in the embrace of illusion, falls like a rod to pay obeisances at the Lord's feet. By that surrender, the soul becomes totally free from Maya, who creates all the objects of this world. The jiva lies down paying dandavats again and again to the Lord. But, it could be argued, that the devotee, even though he has surrendered to the Lord, still has a material body. Therefore, Shukadeva says, a liberated soul pays no more regard to his body than a sleeping man pays to his body while busily engaged far, far away in his dream world. This means that the devotee gives up ignorance by abandoning his false identification with his material body. It should be understood, however, that sometimes this giving up of ignorance is not based on proper surrender to the Lord, as in the case of the impersonalist. But in some cases, the Lord may show special consideration for one whom he favors, regardless of whether any sadhana has been performed, even if a jiva has not practiced solitary bhajan, kaivalya bhakti bhajan, to attain liberation, still the merciful Lord causes the womb, yonim, which is mentioned in the verse, of the living entity's illusion to be dispelled. In the words of Sri Bhishma Dev, 1st Canto, 9th Chapter, verse 39, Yamiha Nirikshya Hatagata Sarupam. Those who simply saw Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after being killed. That even demons like Aga, Baka, and Keshi were liberated by Sri Krishna without having performed any spiritual practices is an indication of Sri Krishna's unique position as the original personality of Godhead. Knowing this, one should abandon all his doubts and fear of the various philosophers who speak nonsense under the sway of their own karma and the force of time. Rather, one should then incessantly meditate upon Lord Hari, who, by his charming sweetness, steals away the mind of those endowed with prema. I, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, who has composed these tikas in chapter 87, take this opportunity to offer this humble prayer. He bhakta dwara yaham chanchad valadi roti yomanak prasadam labhatam yasmat vishishta shweta natati. O devotees, this person with an unsteady dull mind is offering praises at your door. You should let him have a little mercy, since he is expert and quickly does the soliciting. Prayer. Now Vishwanath analyzes the prayer himself. explains what he's saying. The words of my prayer, Chancha Valadi, can also mean wagging tail. According to Amara Kosh, Valadi means tail. Thus, the meaning of my prayer would be as follows. O devotees, this poor creature is standing at your door, wagging his tail and barking. Please let him have a little prasadam so that he may become exceptional among dogs and get the best of masters as his owner. Embedded in the last line of the above prayer is the word Vishwanath, because the last line says Vi, or Vishishta, Shweva, or Shwa, and Natati. Vishishta, Shweva, Natati. So there's Vishwanath. And the last line of the above prayer of mine appears the word Vishwanath. The word Vishishta means exceptional. Shweva means like a dog. And the word Natati means having a master. Therefore, the word Vishwanath, which happens to be my name, means an exceptional dog having a master. Or the meaning of my name, Vishwanath, can be one who begs in a special way. Or it can mean, this is the method of achieving the association of the Lord of the universe, Vishwanath. Thus, Vishwanath concludes his commentary on the prayers by the personified Vedas. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Ki Jai. Srimati Vinod Valerie Manjari Devi Saki Ki Jai. Shruti Vandanam Ki Jai. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Jai Shri Radhe.